Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
261.
261.
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Hey, Andy, it's going pretty well. How about yourself?
It is going exactly the same.
Yes. Oh, it's not exactly the same, though, because I went one step beyond social distancing for this podcast because I will spare no expense for our listeners. Mm-hmm. Guess what I did?
You're wearing a mask right now. No, wait. What did you did?
I washed my hands.
That is the first time for everything.
I know. And you know what song I used and I think everyone should use for washing their hands?
What is it?
The Two Bards intro music.
That's a good song.
Randall
Marsh.
And you
just heard it.
Yep.
Randall Marsh. You, everybody just heard it. Learn it, hum it, perfect.
There you go. The more you know.
So, I am, everybody else as well, I am in the dark on this, but Scott said he has a bunch of stuff to say this week, so I am excited for it. Let's hear about your week, Scott. And it's an actual week this week.
It is.
This week was a week.
It might be a baker's week, but... it's about a week. It's more stuff in general, just thoughts and musings that now that I'm in the swing of things, my brain is starting to open up again. One thing, I'd like to apologize to everyone for last week's podcast if you felt that there was some Tourette syndrome going on in the background of my audio. There was, and I didn't realize it till we were done, and I tried to do noise reduction on it, and it wouldn't work because it was, I'm going to say electronic, and Andy can correct me on this because we figured out what it was, but... I have a little review of an electronic item to give you all, and that is TP-Link's Deco Mesh Router System. I had been using, Andy, you'll know the name for this. What was the thing I was using where you plug it into the wall?
It's an X10 style,
Ethernet over Ethernet, home wire Ethernet over, or something.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of those units. I think right when we moved in here, I bought two from a guy on Craigslist that wasn't using them anymore, and they worked great. The problem that I discovered, is that our landlord he's a Seattle fireman and, mm-hmm. was a nice guy. Now he's a douchebag. But anyway, that's a whole nother story tangent we can go into. But the wiring in this house is good, but fucked up. And mm-hmm. so what was happening is when you can get on the same wire circuit, it works really well. It's supposed to be 100 megabits per second throughput. It wasn't the... 1,000, but I figured, you know, 100's good enough for what I'm going to need. And so I had one plugged in here next to the server, and then I had one out in the living room so that the TV and the Xbox and everything could be wired up to that. And I think I had originally also put a second router out there, an old one, just so that there was more Wi-Fi coverage for phones and stuff in the front of the house. And then I ended up buying a third one for Jen because she was using either originally the kitchen area and the Wi-Fi wasn't going real strong. So I bought another one and wired it in. And she was talking about, you know, things still load kind of slow. And I finally did a speed test on it. And it was about 4 megabits download and for some reason 11 megabits upload. And I have gig internet here. So I knew there would be some degradation, but not that much. I mean, regular run speed tests here on my server, I'm at 950 up and down all day long. So I just said, well, that's what we got for now. And then we started watching HBO a lot, and it couldn't buffer to save its life. It doesn't know how to dumb it down. It just stops for a while out in the living room. And I finally said, you know what? This is stupid. So I got these Deco mesh systems, and I can't... the box is in here somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I think I got the S4. I think it's last year's model, but they're 2 and 5 gigahertz band. You just plug them in. They're about the size of a thick cooler, thermos, sorry, and about half to three quarters as tall. So they're no taller than a beer bottle, and they're about as big around as the old BFG monster cans, if you can remember those.
Yes.
White, very unobtrusive. You plug one in, great. You plug in the second one, and it's the same signal.
So, yeah, you don't have to swap networks at all.
Yep.
You can walk and walk the entire length of the coverage.
Yep. And when I had the other router set up, I didn't have it set up as a bridge because it's so old I couldn't do that. So it had to have another SSID and all that. So this has been working super great. Watch TV in full coverage. Still works for the bedroom on my Fire Cube. And everything was going swimmingly until the podcast last week. And I was like, why do I have these little negative lines on my oscilloscope, as it were? And so I thought, and I had just bought a new of going on the Rob McLennan idea of get a shitty one now, get a better one later, webcam, because yesterday I was supposed to be doing a Zoom play, Taming of the Shrew, and I was going to be Petruchio. And we were very excited about that. And I thought, between that and rehearsals for terms, doing it off my phone, it, even though it's on Wi-Fi, it's kind of laggy and glitchy. So I want the full bandwidth, and I'm going to get this Anivia, A-N-I-V-I-A, 1080 self-focusing cam. I think it was $46, and I didn't have to wait 7 weeks to get it shipped to me. So far, working really good. Rehearsals were really good. I had to not have it on top of my monitor because you could see way too much of the dirty office. and no matter how big my beard is, and it's pretty beardy right now, you could still count the chin. So it's now beneath the monitor, and a much better camera angle for me to be on. So I thought that that was, because it's not a Logitech and all that jazz, I thought maybe that was the problem. So we're getting ready for the podcast today. And Andy says, well, here's a bunch of things. I don't think any of them are going to stick. And he starts, you know, try this, try this, try this. And I said, the only thing that's changed is this web camera. And I unplugged it to make sure that that driver wasn't causing any issues. And the new mesh Wi-Fi. Well, we unplugged that and it's gone. So if you're doing audio recording, do not put it 3 feet away from your setup. And I will Sorry, Andy just sent me what the title of this podcast is going to be, and it's perfect. So I will be doing some more testing on placement, and I can run those tests myself, and then I'll let everybody know if it's back up and running or if I have to turn off Wi-Fi in the house every time we do a podcast. But luckily, I'm plugged in directly to the modem, so we still have the capabilities of doing the podcast. So, long story short, we can still do them, no technical difficulties. Jen just can't watch TV or be on her phone very well while that's happening.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the tech highs and lows for me so far. Also, I got a screaming deal on that on Amazon. I'm not sure if it's still available. I think it was under $150.
Oh, wow.
Thinking that a Nest or Google Home goes for, and I got three units, they go for about $300. So it was a really good price. If you're looking for something like that, I'm only running two in the house right now, and I think I could get really good coverage from the garage in a ranch style house from the garage at one end all the way to this end in the office. I think that I've got really good coverage. So I've got a third one that I could even, you know, set up if there was a, you know, need for it downstairs. I could go mid range between those and you'd have the whole house pretty well covered. You know, goes through the walls, everything's good. And the benchmark was I put Jen's laptop on Wi-Fi, and from 4 down, 11 up, we moved that to about 125 down and about the same up. So, marked difference. And she's using my laptop, which is Andy's old editing laptop. So that's Wi-Fi antenna that is what, 8 years old?
At least, right? It's the HP?
It's the HP. It's that big, heavy 3-ton thing with no optical drive.
Man, I think that thing is 10 years old.
Okay. So you would have probably even better results with a newer unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
I just want to reiterate this. Because this is like saying that gravity's reversed. wired internet, even though it was going through, you know, power line, it's fairly decent, but wired Ethernet was like two orders of magnitude slower.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Than Wi-Fi on a 10-year-old laptop.
Yeah. 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 It doesn't. It boggles the mind. It doesn't make any sense to me. But so that's really it for the tech thing, except that we have, I want to say Magnolia, that's not Motorola, that's it. At work, we run on the same app that Amazon Flex drivers run.
Mm-hmm.
Which is called, surprisingly, Amazon Flex.
What?
You cannot, it's not available in the Play Store, but if you have an account, you can get it on your phone by going to a particular website and grabbing it. And so they have these cat, very much like, looks like the logo for Caterpillar, Motorola phones. Now, they're probably two generations old, but they use them because you have to use T-screws to put in the case. They're waterproofed. You know, they're really good out in the field, take abuse type hand units.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But typically, you have to... You stop, you use the navigation, and I'm not even going to get into the fact that we don't use Google or Apple Maps. We use some other piece of shit map program because it's cheap.
Right,
and it's a piece of shit. also, the route that we have to do with the packages, is designed by an algorithm.
Yeah, Elastic Postman. I actually have touched that code.
So I am driving, let's say, northbound on a four-lane road with no median in the middle or turn lanes in the middle, and I will have to deliver a package on the left side of the road somewhere along there. And there's no bike lane, there's no nothing. So I just have to put on my blinkers in the middle of the road and close down a lane. And yeah, I have discovered some very creative driving and parking practices that I believe I only get away with because I'm in a big van and I have my four ways on. So to those not in the know of the lingo, that would be your hazard lights. But anyway, this app, when you get done, you're driving, you click, I've parked, and then it reverts to scan package. We have a QR code, you scan that, you walk up to the house, you say, I'm leaving it on the front porch, continue, set the package down, and then take a picture. All of this should be fairly quick. Now, when you have 270 packages, every second counts. It would take probably from scan package, letting it think, oh yeah, I know what that QR. It would be like me being in the computer, old me, eating Cheetos and drinking Monster, trying to wake up and go, oh yeah, okay, turn to the next thing and then engage the next thing. So it's 3 or 4 seconds to actually get to the, okay, I'm going to leave it on the front door, another 2 seconds, pulls up the camera, and then you're 5 seconds waiting for it to focus and get everything targeted and take the picture. And Amazon looks at these things. And if they're blurry, you get a black mark. So they got to be in focus. You can't have your foot in it. So all of these things, that takes time every single time. And someone said, well, you can put that on your phone. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah, go to this website, download it, put it on your phone. I'm like, okay, great. So I did. And while I'm walking up, moving, I can just hold my phone out. It grabs the scan package, immediately goes to where are you leaving it. Front porch, boom, picture, boom. I can be moving the camera as I take the picture, and it still gets a perfect shot of the package. It probably took, and I just started, I bought a new case for it. I got the metal plate on the back. I got the new magnet-enabled charging cable. Holy crap, that it, I know I've only been doing this for like a month and a half, but it was such a game changer using updated electronics.
Yes.
And the funny thing was, Hersey, our manager, said, yeah, Amazon gave us the latest one. They're about $800 per phone/unit. And, the new ones have a deep case with the metal plate on the back, but a place for you to slide your hand in so that you can actually not drop the phone. It slides over your fingers. You have it in your hand. Super fast, super responsive. They let them use them for about a week and then pulled them all back. And then Hersey was like, yeah, I guess they're using them somewhere else. And Robin, our logistics person, said, no, they put them all in the box and put them in the warehouse. So, yeah, I'll keep everybody updated on the use of my own phone. But, yeah, big game changer in the amount of stress that I have to deal with. And you wouldn't think it would be that bad, but it really is.
No, I can totally.
It is stressful.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
And luckily when I started, normally they put two, I think we talked about this, but two people in a van so that you kind of learn. With the COVID, you can't do that. So they gave us what they call nursery routes. So the first week you're doing 50% routes. Well, mm-hmm. I was doing two bags that might have 16 to 20 packages in each, and then you got a couple oversized in the back. Mm-hmm. You know, that would take me 6 hours. And I was just beating myself up left and right. And then we turn into the second week. Now you're doing 75% runs. But I'm still only doing three, maybe four totes that probably had 16 to 20 packages in each. Mm-hmm. Couple in the back, maybe no oversized. Still taking me a while to get this done. Mm-hmm. And I was really worried once we went to full boat, no more nursery routes, that I was just going to be in over my head. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, don't worry about it. The routes are pretty small. I think the largest I had done up till about 2 weeks ago was probably 120 total packages with 80 to 100 stops. So, you know, a lot of people get two packages at one address or whatever, or maybe you've got two houses right next to each other. So that's a stop and you've got two packages out. So I've learned not to count the number of packages on my route, but I count the number of stops on my route. Because you go to an apartment complex with a hub locker, you might be dropping off 50 packages. Mm-hmm. Now, it takes a while to do all of that, but it's one stop and it's 50 packages. I think we talked about the one last week where I got 271 packages. That was 15 boxes, and the back of the rig was half loaded with oversized boxes. That took me till 9 o'clock, and I had six other drivers who had finished their routes come to rescue and take bags away from me mm-hmm. to go do the deliveries. Since then, and Kyle said, that's your one. Since then I've had no rescue drivers, and I've had, that was, I think, 15 totes. So I've had 12 totes, 10 totes. The weekends are just getting brutal. Friday payday was brutal. I think they just saved them all for Friday. Everybody had just shitty routes. And so Jen all week has been texting me, where are you? I'm like, I'm still three totes down. I'm not going to be home till 8:30, 9 o'clock. She's like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, no. This is normal now. The times of me coming home at 5 o'clock, they're gone. Mm-hmm. This is the new normal. Mm-hmm. And there's still no traffic.
It's going to get bad.
I can't wait till the new normal happens when we all get back to driving on the roads. It's interesting. Mm. But the people are great. And Fridays we have unofficial lot parties, bring some beers after work. And on paydays, my buddy Stefan brings a gas grill, little mm-hmm. tailgate grill, and we do some hot dogs, and everybody just kvetches. Supervisors are there, and it's just a way to bitch, but at the same time it's the informal place where you get information. And the last three times I've been there, I get to ask them, how do you deal with this, and how do you deal with that? And in training is a perfect world scenario. In reality, you don't necessarily do those things. You try mm-hmm. to do those things to the best of your ability, but the name of the game is finish the route. If we don't finish the route, we could deliver all the packages but two by 9:15 at night. And if we've got two packages that we didn't get delivered because they'll shut it off and we have to come back, they might not pay them for that route.
Mm-hmm.
Even though all those all but two packages got delivered. 269 packages got delivered, but I had to bring two back so the route didn't get finished. That's a black mark. Mm-hmm. So you learn where are the problems. You make the attempt. You know, my problem was I always tried to give perfect service. I would sit there and I would call the customer and I would call support, and that's not factored into the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Spending 20 minutes per package trying to get it to somebody's house is not what the algorithm is calculating. It's calculating, this is a residence, you got here, you dropped off the package, that should take you 30 seconds. You're at an apartment, okay, it's probably going to take you 2 minutes per address because you got to find the place, then you got to park, then you got to figure out if it's the third floor or the basement or where you got to go. It calculates these things. But, you know, learning those ins and outs and how do you sort the packages and how do you do this and that is really where that stuff happens. And so I feel very grateful to be working for this particular company, because I look at drivers for other companies and they're just left out in the weeds, man. It's like, you know, nope, I've got this knowledge. It's my knowledge. I'm not sharing it with anybody. And everybody in our group is just like, oh, you have this problem, do this. Oh, you have this problem, do this. Oh, okay, when this doesn't work, just go disable this in your phone. Boom, turn off LTE. Great, now you don't have any way for Amazon to fuck with your day. You just say, it's here. When you're all done, you turn it back on and you're good to go. One of the guys said he used to go turn off LTE, deliver everything, and they monitor what you're doing based on that data. And they'd be calling and going, is your rabbit working? Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. I don't know what the problem is. And then he'd wait till the end of the day, and then he'd turn LTE on, and then all the data would come dumped back. And then, boom, he's finished his route. He didn't like them very much. But
I gathered.
Yeah. So there's some tech news and some work news for my week.
Nice.
Yeah, I talked an awful lot. I apologize.
It's all good. I don't have much to say, honestly. We got a massive, massive, massive shock in the Seattle film community. Mm. She was more LA / Georgia, Louisiana, somewhere like that.
Yeah, I mean, wherever. She graduated to that, yeah.
Yeah, but Lynn Shelton passed away at 54. Lynn was, everybody in Seattle knows Lynn. Everybody has either met her or talked to her or in some way been impacted by her. You know, so we all have these little like fleeting stories, and then there are people who worked very closely with her. Who are just, we're all just devastated. If you're interested in seeing what it's like for a filmmaker to touch the lives of so many people, definitely, you know, go look up some of her work and look her up on social media and see what people are saying. Absolutely tragic loss in a week of tragic losses.
Yeah.
Fred Willard died at 87, I believe. Eddie Haskell, who's actor for some reason I am spacing on, I think he was 74 or 76, something like that.
Oh, I hadn't heard Eddie.
He passed today. Why can I not remember his name? Anyway. I think 2020 is given 2016. 2020 is not just lapping 2016. It is taking a go-kart around the track and running over previous years as they run. That was a downer. Trying to keep my spirits as high as I can. The only thing I've really watched in the last few days was obviously I will continue and always continue to always tell you go watch Harley Quinn. It's fantastic. latest episode, fantastic. Chris Maloney plays really heavily in this one as Jim Gordon. So it's great. The ending is great. That's all I can say about it. I did rewatch the 2004 Dawn of the Dead because we were talking about, I do not like Zack Snyder. I will just straight up say I don't like Zack Snyder. I think he had almost one decent movie in Watchmen. I don't like any of his other DC stuff, but Dawn of the Dead is art. Dawn of the Dead is fantastic. That movie's great. He did a great job. Everything about that movie was just so well done. It captured the camp of the original movie. You know, it captured James Gunn wrote the script.
Well, there you go.
It was a big deal to have fast zombies, like really fast, dangerous zombies. I would say that a lot of post 2004, zombie movies owe tons of their DNA to Dawn of the Dead. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Go rent the director's cut. This is a case against the Snyder cut of anything, by the way, because it didn't really change it much at all. It's almost beat for beat. There's only a little bit extra in it. And none of it is additive in any meaningful way. I was happy to have a longer runtime, though. I was happy to have more to enjoy. So if you haven't watched it in a while, totally go watch it. That opening is something else. They do shoot Toronto for Milwaukee. So, it's very obviously a Canadian movie. There's a scene where they have, by the way, malls, Zack Snyder, if you're listening, malls don't have generally KFCs inside. Maybe they do in Canada, but, Kentucky Fried Chicken is not a mall food. It's not something you devour. Maybe they do in Milwaukee. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe they do in Canada because you can get poutine there. But yeah, the box said PKF because that's the French version of KFC, whatever. If you speak French, laugh it up, because I don't know. But it's pretty funny that those little things would come through. Ving Rhames, of course, is a lot of fun in it. He is super campy, but in the best way possible. That 2004 action movie camp, so good. very fun watch, and I do recommend it. That's really, though, apart from playing some games that aren't really noteworthy, to talk about, like Super Mario World or something, everybody's played. I've just been working like crazy. That is it. Lifting stuff, moving stuff. I am in better shape than I've been in like 2 years just because I moved for a couple of days, which that's a problem. But.
Little sleeper film that I can recommend that we watched last night, based solely on the three actors in it. Mm-hmm. It's called This Means War, and it's Tom Hardy, Chris Pine, and Reese Witherspoon. And I said, none of those people have really done a bad one once they became established. We'll put that caveat in there. None of them have really done a bad project. Mm-hmm. Some people will argue about Venom. I loved it. Anyway, great, great movie. Kind of. That was the other one that we watched that wasn't as good. But it is. I don't want to give anything away. Tom Hardy and Chris Pine work for the CIA. Reese mm-hmm. Witherspoon is a product testing maven, and hilarity ensues. Very well done. And the other thing that I liked about those three people in particular is that they'll do, Chris Pine will do Star Trek. He'll do Wonder Woman. Tom Hardy will do Venom. But then they turn around and they do thing, and Reese Witherspoon does powerhouse movies. But then she does, Big Little Lies, and she starts producing a bunch of independent stuff, and Chris Pine does big blockbusters and then little sub-million-dollar movies. Tom mm-hmm. Hardy does, you know, stuff for the small screen. Taboo is phenomenal. And to watch him doing things like Bronson and Legendary and Taboo, where he's that, you know, Bane type character, just, you know, super mean, to see him stumbling over himself in sort of a romantic comedy, it just elevated my appreciation for his abilities. Because there's a couple times in this where you get to see the other side of him, but it was a very, very good movie. It's on HBO. I think you can rent it through Amazon Prime. But yeah, hearty two thumbs up from me.
Nice.
Oh, and the new season of Westworld is really good.
Oh, good. That's a good hook. That's a good sound.
Okay. Yeah. I heard on NPR that they actually sold Westworld to HBO mm-hmm. on the strength of season 3. Seasons 1 and 2 were only there for backstory to get you into the story they wanted to tell. And if you think about 1 and 2...
Yeah.
Yeah. That 3 is on steroids.
I have to say, whoever is greenlighting stuff at HBO is doing a great job.
Yes.
Watchmen is my favorite TV show ever now. Like, I mean, I've given it enough time to boil. It's my favorite TV show ever. Westworld is fantastic. Everything they're putting out, apart from the last two seasons of Game of Thrones, and that is up for debate. I have no issue if you like the last, you know, 2-3 seasons of Game of Thrones. That's fine by me. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't enjoy anything they don't want to enjoy. I found it kind of ran out of steam and narratively fell apart. But overall, and Game of Thrones was not sold on the strength of a season that came from a book that hadn't been written yet. It was sold on the strength of the first season.
Yeah.
So, you know, that totally makes sense. But yeah, HBO's killing it.
Yeah. They've got so really good stuff.
All right, well, let's get to some of your questions for us, because we are burning daylight, folks. Casey Lee writes, what did the two bards not have to buy during this lockdown? AKA, what did you already have way too much of? I didn't have too much of anything. It has not, apart from some stuff being out of stock occasionally, this has not impacted my shopping at all, save... I do try to load as much of it as I can at one day of the week rather than going multiple times during the week. Other than that, and wearing a mask, it has not impacted really much of anything. We had enough toilet paper to get through the toilet paper shortage. So that didn't really impact us. The only thing I really have too much of right now is grass that I don't want to cut. How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Not much really has changed for me. I still go shopping probably every day-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, usually to the grocery outlet to get some staples here and there. But, you know, I obviously had enough scotch to get me through, but thankfully they're an essential business, so I can still get booze. There was a bit of a rush by Jen on the toilet paper front. Mm-hmm. We are never out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't have like a special section that we've designated as the TP storage unit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like aggressive, but mm-hmm. it's just like, wow, okay, we've got enough for a while. I don't think there's anything consumable that I guess the only thing that I didn't have enough of was web cameras.
There you go.
And you know, that has been a
problem. Distance between your router and your setup.
Yeah. But no, I think by and large, I mean, I wasn't wearing a mask until we were told we had to at Amazon, and until today in public when King County instituted a mandatory mask in public places thing.
I've been wearing a mask the whole time because I'm not a dickwad.
Well, I'm not a dickwad either because I know that I'm not coughing on people. I'm really sorry. When all of this starts to even out, I'm still not going to cough on people. I practice good hygiene. I wash my hands regularly. But at a certain point, this is something we're going to be stuck with, like the flu. And I'm trying not to be uber paranoid about it. Now, part of that is because I've gotten my health issues under control. And I'm not saying that other people shouldn't. And I'm starting to buy into the, you know, yes, it's uncomfortable. But at the same time, if that's what I can do myself to make this better, easily done. Easy peasy.
That's why I did it when scientists said to do it a month ago, though. That's what I'm getting at. Like I understand it's like not comfortable. It's, you know, gets in your face and all this stuff, but you know, and we're probably not going to see eye to eye on this, and that's fine. Because you're wearing it now and that's great. I've been very, very, cognizant of the papers that have been coming out and things like that. And you don't have to cough on anybody. Talking will propel droplets 6 feet. So, you know, that's the whole point is that it wasn't about you feeling sick, put on a mask, coughing, put on a mask. It was do all this stuff before any of that happens. Have you seen the graphic that's like the pants, no pants thing? I think it's about the best explanation there is. If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. I'll send it to you after this. But it's a great explanation of why masks work and why, you know, social distancing works, you know, it's basically, sorry, it's basically two guys without pants and one of them is just pissing on the other. It's like, then you add social, you know, they're like, I wear a mask. I still get wet, but it takes longer. And the mask is pants. And then like you wear a mask and he's just pissing himself, you know?
Right.
It's a great little graphic.
Well, to that point, I don't talk to anybody when I go shopping, including the clerk.
I wish, man. I hate people. No, that's not true. I just don't like talking to people.
But yeah, I totally understand, and I'm all about that. And like somebody said, if 60% of the population wore a mask 60% of the time, it would be done. So if everyone just did it all the time when you're out in public, easy to do. But
yep.
I defy you to wear that mask for 10 hours.
Oh, for sure. And for and you don't, you know, you wouldn't wear it while driving. You'd wear it while dropping the package off and stuff like that. But
yeah.
The other thing is, of course, when you do it for a living, it's about finding the right mask.
Right.
To wear, you know, to wear.
Which I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
But need to.
Well, and like, obviously, you need to go like whole hog on making it you, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, is it going to be Sons of Anarchy themed? You know, what's it going to be?
Well, that's see, and part of that is I have motorcycle things with, you know, skulls and stuff. But I just don't think that's setting the right tone when I'm delivering packages.
So I disagree.
I'm waiting for
the... that's fantastic.
I'm waiting for the Amazon-branded smile masks to come out.
Oh, God. My stomach heaved a little bit. Because you know what? It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. Let's see. Rob McLennan asks... Yeah, we're doing those first, right?
Question? Yeah.
Okay, we're out of sync. Okay, so Rob McLennan asks, other than Orcas Sick Island, is there a place that you like to go or just, you know, to get away for a while?
Asgard goes first.
Oh, I think it's you more because Orcus is your thing.
Like, yeah. So not really. To relax, it's got to be green. It's got to be near water. It's got to be secluded. That hits all of the. So like, I do love going to, you know, Vancouver, obviously. But when I go to Vancouver, I have stuff to do. I'm doing in Vancouver. You know, I'm not relaxing. I'm out and I'm doing the things and, you know, making my kid go play a pickup street hockey game and get his ass kicked by 4-year-olds. That's what I do when I'm in Vancouver. You know, when I want to relax, like I do an okay job of relaxing at home. But you know, you need the change of scenery to really tell your brain, hey, we're not in the stress place. You know, you're not sitting at your computer desk at home, so go ahead and relax. Any green places work though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've stayed in Airbnbs in Oregon. I really like the Pacific Northwest. I really like it though. I don't feel relaxed. Like I can't go to Arizona and feel relaxed. I can't. I don't like tropical climbs. I don't scuba dive yet. Maybe one day. I don't do any of the fun stuff you do. So if I went to Hawaii, I would just stay in the room. Like that's no fun. New York is not relaxing in any way.
Have you been to Hawaii?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I just know I hate wind. I hate sun. Those are the two really big ones. I hate wind and I hate sun.
Yep. Now see, Jen and I had this conversation a while ago. I felt the same way up until going to England. I believe that you would like Europe a whole lot. Spain, maybe not so in the summer. But the heat that we're used to here, like last week when it hit 83, 80 whatever.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
30 degrees Celsius.
Because the clouds are still up above and they're keeping some moisture in and the heat's there and it's just uncomfortable heat. The minute that I gave in to travel in England, and it took a while, I was not comfortable traveling like that. I never had left this continent except Hawaii when I was 7 and back in 99. So I'd been twice, and Canada. Never been to Mexico, nothing. So my scope was very limited. But when we were in Spain in April, in God bless it, really hot weather, there was a little bit of a breeze and it was super dry. So I didn't sweat like I do in Indianapolis in the summer at Gen Con. I mean, that's what I thought hot was everywhere, and it's not. So I think, you know, I hands down, everywhere I went in the U.S. minus Maine, I always wanted to come home. I always wanted green trees. I always wanted all this. Now, of course, I would love to go anywhere that I can put on tanks and go dive. Short of that, and the thing that sucks because it's not running right now, is anywhere my bike goes. That is my getting on the motorcycle and just going somewhere. Luckily here, lots of green, lots of trees, and there's a breeze when I'm going 60, 70 miles down the road. That is my clear everything. I don't have a radio. I now have Bluetooth, you know, headphones and stuff, so maybe I'll give that a try. But just being out there with my thoughts, being able to decompress and just let go of everything, for me, that was it. And now with all this nice weather, it's just like, oh, I want my bike running again. Europe next.
Yep. Europe next, indeed. I'm going to go to Europe next. James Peters writes, and I'm having a little bit of trouble with this question, so we'll talk it out. What sort of position would you hold in your fantasy post-apocalyptic world LARP? I write LARP because I suspect at least Andy will point out that no post-apocalypse is a worthwhile fantasy, so it's more free reign to build your ideal Fallout Wasteland character society. So is it asking what position I would hold? Like, would I be Master Blaster, or is it asking what position do I hold about my preferred apocalypse? None. I guess, yeah, the position I would like to hold in a fantasy post-apocalyptic world is the person who helps get everything back on track. Let's make it not a post-apocalypse. Let's make it a post-post-apocalypse.
Yes. I would like to be advisor to the king.
Or worm
whatever.
Yeah.
Ish, I guess.
Just to be Brad DeRuff in general. I mean, come on.
DeRuff.
Yeah, this is Brad DeRuff, of course, played Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, and he also played he's the voice of Chucky. He was also in the best episode of X-Files ever, singing Beyond the Sea. It was fantastic.
He's also great in Deadwood, and
that's what I've heard.
He was in Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I believe he was Billy Bibbit, but I could be wrong.
Yes, he was. He was Twidgety guy. His eyes are so starkly blue. Just look for the guy with stark blue eyes. Mm-hmm. That's him. But he's always slumped down in his chair, or slumped back in his chair, I guess, fidgeting and stuff. I think he smokes a shit ton in that movie too. So look for that guy.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. Yeah. Everybody does. All right. So before we get started here, I don't have a question for next week again because I'm a jerk. I was going to say, let's open it up to critique for Amazon deliveries. No, I'm kidding. Like, what's the worst Amazon delivery you've ever had? So Scott knows what not to do.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah. What's the worst delivery experience you've ever
delivery.
Had? We'll and it can it be pizza or it can be books. I don't care, you know.
Oh, had a fun. I really wish I could have gotten a picture of it. But so I was driving. I think it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it was Saturday. And I had a stop to make and little residential street. And I see the UPS van guy kind of out the door on the street. And I pull over and park, and I realize that he's the truck's not going anywhere, and he's trying to push it.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled my budget rental van over to the side and got out, and I said, "You need some help?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's not going anywhere, and I'm trying to get it out of the middle of the road." And so he was pushing, and I was pushing. Luckily, it was flat. I said, "Why don't you just..." Because he's trying to, from the ground, look up in the rearview mirror to direct. I said, "You just hop in and I'll push." Mm-hmm. And so I'm out there in my Amazon delivery shirt and my black shorts, pushing the UPS truck so we could get it parallel parked against the curb.
And I really wish someone had gotten a photo of that and posted it to Reddit, man.
And this woman drove up and she's like, "Wow. That's amazing. Amazon's helping UPS." It's just like,
well, there's some truth there.
And the funny thing was, once he got it there, their trucks are are manuals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you could push start it? Or
he somehow got it in reverse and just dropped the clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ran. So then he drove past me. He's like, "Thank you for your help. I've been standing here for half an hour trying to get this off the side of the road."
Oh,
and
that's
I was
awesome.
Just like, I'm glad it's running now. I hope you're at the end of your day, because I'm not going to follow you around to help push it somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So last week we asked a couple of questions. We asked, during this difficult and uncertain time, if two bards were to create supplemental content individually to help fill the gaps, what type of content would you like us to make? And secondly, we asked, what skills, if any, are you learning or honing during the pandemic? It's on you for the first
one. Yes, I was typing in the question so that I don't forget, because I'm apt to do that. Now I have to scroll back up and find where we are. Holy crap. Okay, so Casey Lee says, only answering question one, so he did half of his homework. I'm learning the Byrds version of Mr. Tambourine Man on the 12-string guitar. And yeah, mm-hmm. the song Foo last week was Safety Dance, but seems like it did not land. It did. It just didn't land as maybe you intended. Side question, has anyone ever asked a tambourine man to play a song?
Probably not, because that would be terrible. But I guarantee you, if you have a hurdy-gurdy, people have asked you to play Hurdy-Gurdy Man, even though that you could only play part of it.
That's true. And I have not asked a tambourine man to play a song, but I have been asked to play the tambourine during a song.
Man.
So
that's pretty cool. Seth Davis writes, I enjoy guest interviews, even if the format has standardized questions like what you've been working on, watching, reading, listening to, playing. I miss Cottywomple. Oh, Matt.
I don't know what that reference is.
That's Matt Vansell's like podcasty thing, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Question two. During the pandemic, I have decided to build a gift database for the gamers. Yes, he has, and oh, it is rich.
Yes.
So check out his progress at giphy.com/ZoeFanNet. That's ZoeFanNet. And hopefully Facebook buying it doesn't ruin it.
And Giphy and is G-I-P-H-Y.
P-H-Y, correct. Or Jiffy, which actually Jiffy makes more sense to say, I guess. Because in a jiffy, but there's no F in it anyway, so
mm-hmm.
it's all out the window. Giphy it is. And have been learning to use Resolve 16 to cut and edit, and I love Resolve, so that's fantastic. I've been teaching a coworker how to, because he's been streaming and stuff like that, and basically the first lesson I taught him was buy the $299 version,
mm-hmm.
And he did, and he was super happy with it, so that's great.
Now, owning the camera, you and I have the $299 version, right?
Yes. Okay. You should have a dongle
yep.
that you can use to... Yep. And then Buman has my other... One of my other dongles. I have a card and a code for the Blackmagic Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is a real good program.
Yep. Rob McLennan answers... Question one with, interviews are always good if you can somehow arrange them. Any of the usual suspects or anyone you would like to introduce us to would be fair game. Those could be done by either or both of you as available. Maybe gaming sessions. Check out... what's the new Twitch one? Total Velocity?
Oh, Void Jumpers?
Yeah,
Void Jumpers.
Void Jumpers.
Yeah, that's Connor Marks and Lisa Coronado. Jesse Keeter, Brian Lewis, there's Trin. Some other faces, Trin Miller, there's more. Why can I not remember? Well, anyway, it's a lot of great people. Go watch it. Fantastic.
Question two, like you mentioned, I'm doing chain mailing and leatherwork. We know you, Rob. I'm currently working up the resolve to sacrifice about a square foot of leather for practicing... for practice in tooling patterns into it. That's something I've only done a little bit of at this point. Having recently received a half a cow's worth of veg tanned tooling leather will make that mental leap easier. Wow. It certainly totally. Wasn't easy to say, but yes, I'm sure getting half of a cow, it's easy to sacrifice a square foot of leather.
Yeah, so I learned leather burning, and my takeaway is, oh God, don't. No, do. It's amazing, but it smells terrible. and depending on the treatment, it smells worse, too. So it's not just like this smells like a specific thing. No, it could be anything. You never know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Rival Guy writes, for question one, I'd love to hear commentaries, movies, games, TV shows, not reviews per se, but what are things that pieces of media do really well that the bards think are worth highlighting that those of us with less knowledge of the craft may have missed? That's a good point. And actually, I've got something kind of in the works for that eventually. A lot of stuff has to happen first, though. So, for question two, he writes, I've been working, less diligently than I should, on learning the classical music forms from the composer's side. Sonatas, rondos, etc. I'm writing them for an ensemble of two violins, a viola, and a cello. I call them my... God damn it. My quartets.
Oh, man.
You asshole.
Wow.
I love it.
Brian Lewis also did half his homework and good. Answers question two with, I've been learning more about pickling things. My wife and I have pickled beans, cucumbers, garlic, and jalapenos.
He put the accent on it. I want to stress that he took the time to put the accent on the end.
Yes, very well done. We're experimenting both with typical pickle brine and fermenting vegetables with salt water. I've also been doing some wood carving / burning. Speaking of leather burning.
Do leather.
Yeah. Look at that. Everybody's tying into the last one.
It is.
Somehow.
This is great. Let's see if Dougie can keep it going. Dougie Sharp answers question two only, which is a tie-in to the previous one as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to learn nail binding, or knoll binding, basically an early knitting method used for Viking clothing. It seemed simple, but is a bit of a pain in the ass, hard to learn on your own through videos. Yeah, it doesn't tie back. It's pretty good, though. I like it.
Whatever you do, don't learn the... What is it? The Majestic Eagle? Or... what is it called? End of Viking Season 1.
That sounds gross and like maybe a torture thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's cutting open the back and then pulling bones out to make bird
make
wings.
It's, yeah, that works.
It is a horror while you're still alive. And because it's a penalty, if you make no sound, you can still go to Valhalla.
Ah.
Yep.
But you all go ahead and just keep on doing that. You just knit that right into their skin now.
Yeah. Brad McGowan answers question one and two. Okay, it's just buried in there. Brad McGowan says, I wouldn't mind seeing short comedy skits. Neither would I. Maybe through Hangouts or Zoom or whatever you could do that's viable. I wouldn't mind tech reviews for the novices, me, also. And question two is, I'm just trying to do my music and time-lapse art thing. I'm mediocre, but it passes the time. And if you get 10,000 hours in, you won't be mediocre anymore.
Oh, lots of mediocre people do this shit professionally. Don't even stress that. Just do you.
Yep.
James Peters writes for question one, I would love to see short comedy skits. Hey, see, it ties in. Short, tiny creative works, even ones with low production values like the old Vines and these newfangled Tic Tacs or whatever. I'm also down for any sort of Discord game night or general live community stuff. That sounds interesting. Some of that definitely is doable. For question two, he writes, I've been diving into Blender. You shouldn't do that. That's going to kill you.
Didn't you see the frog in a blender flash video game?
That's like Zombo.com level right there, dude.
Yeah.
And cooking lately. With a blender, I would too.
That's like Zumbo.com there.
Obviously, he's talking about Blender, the application, which is free. And it's amazing that this thing is free. Be sure to go check out Ian Hubert's Tutorials Done Quick on Blender. We've talked about him before, but it'll get you into it. It's great. I've been learning a lot about 3D modeling from both a technical and a production standpoint. For example, in the world of VFX and tabletop terrain, your model doesn't need to be the thing it's emulating. It just needs to look like it. For cooking, I've now made homemade pasta dough, meat pies, bagels, and a variety of other foods and baked goods, enough to make Karen weep. It's been really nice, both as a skill to practice and as a way to help my mother out a bit by sharing some of the cooking duties. Fantastic, James.
Well done.
Indeed.
You're a good son. I don't care
what
your mother says.
You're a good man, James Peters Brown. I don't know what to do with this. James Peters. Yeah. Anyway, that about wraps it up for today's podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a special thanks to our Patreon patrons who make this all possible, Hawk Robinson.
James Peters.
Leslie Sedlak.
Rob McLennan.
Stuart Hume.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Gordon D. Duke.
Lou Dog.
Dennis Nickel.
Jay Blanken.
Casey Lee.
Dougie Sharp.
Laura Red Scott.
Seth M. Davis.
I should categorize these so that all the triples are together.
Yeah.
Todd McKimmy.
Lotta Jerv.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Beau Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy. This is we are winning the distancing championship right now.